This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
It's the Sounding Board question time for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to drink wise. We have been inundated, Greg Hutchison, with questions relating to Kane Corns' take on Trent Cotchin and Channel 7 / Matthew Richardson's take on his take of them. We'll start with Adam Granger.
What's your take on Richo's take on Kane's take on Cotchin?
Well, we gave in the main body of the Sounding Board.
Well, I'll give you my take on your take on Richo's take on Kane's take on
Cotchin. There's a glass jaw nominations there somewhere. Adam Granger on X. Did Channel 7 pull the wrong rein by bringing both Selwood and Cotchin together? Champion players, but both cut from the same cloth. Was it a misstep? And how important is getting the mix right with these shows? P.S. Kane's impression of Cotchin was elite. That's Adam's view.
Yep.
Again, they're amazing players. They're, what, four-time in Joel's case, premiership players, both premiership captains.
I think both Trent and Joel are new to the AFL craft. It's unusual you have two newbies together, which is probably why that it needs to be more focus on the production. And I think the clip that Kane had a bit of fun with was on the Seven social, so it didn't make the, or wasn't on the Talking Footy platform.
Yep.
But it just does show you that they've probably been elite players, elite captains, great resumes, and are going to be held to the media account of everybody else. So.
Yep. And you just know that their intel on footy and their insight into the game, it's going to come through, I'd imagine, pretty quickly. It's just how it does. Callum Thomas on X, does being a premiership captain make you immune from criticism of your media work?
It doesn't, no.
You've got a grace period, though, I think, don't you?
You get more credits. Your resume stands up for heaps.
Every ex-sports person realizes this pretty quickly, don't they, in the media. You come in, and these two guys, no one's been more celebrated, particularly Selwood, I'd say, Hutchie, more so than Trent Cotch. And I think, well, that's my take on that. So they've come in from outside a system where they're just revered. Like, people bow at their feet when they see them in the street. I'm talking about the public here. And there is an environment where they feel, without they even realising it, they can't do anything or say anything wrong. And they just want to continue doing things their way. But it doesn't work when you've got a media outlet to use as that vehicle to portray your thoughts, does it?
Yep.
And then everyone's got an opinion on all that.
And they've been chosen largely for their resumes rather than their sense of media talent. Like, Trent was never a demonstrative media talent or a flamboyant performer.
No. Yep. I thought he wasn't even going to go down media too. Didn't he say he's going to go down a different path?
Yeah.
I thought he did. Yeah. I don't want to keep deliberately. A lot of questions are against Seven here. Let's just move on from that. There are a heap. I hope we'd covered most of the issues that everyone's raised here in the main body. If you haven't heard it, I'll refer you back to that. I think we did cover it as well as we can, given our bias in this, Hutchie, because we both work for Channel 9. Nick Brown on Facebook. Can Hutchie talk us through the SEN tent revival and after Ox on and Finey, who's next on the break bread list?
Get a little bit of a few bars of the song there, Zimmer, because it can get stuck in your head, that song, if you give it a go.
Ooh, say, oh, please. Hutchie.
Now, honestly, in all, Finey, I've talked about, I think, at length, haven't I? It was just been an 18-month conversation. Came to be, I think, his first few rounds of post-40 has been awesome. It's been certainly well-received by our audience.
Yep.
And he's got a very unique style. And there was an opportunity to bring David back as a game a week expert, and so we did.
Yep. Josh Larwood, Facebook. Why, when news outlets post a story on Facebook, do some stories not allow for comments? Is it because they know the topic is controversial and could aggravate a public response? Does this go against free speech and voicing an opinion, or is it for the public safeguarding?
It's public safeguarding. There's sometimes you post something where you know you run the risk of it being an inflammatory response.
And sometimes they deliberately do that too.
That the cost of that could be, harmful.
If they don't like the person they're writing about, they'll leave comments open. But if they do like the person they have to write about,
that's cynical.
No, that's how it works. But no, I think the general question is there is a lens put on it. Josh, as far as I know there to be the case in the organisations I work for, if it is deemed to be sensitive and open to people just taking the topic down a very wrong path, that they will just be a block. But I've said many times, Hutchie, I don't care as much as other people do for any commentary by the public beneath an article. And maybe I should, because I work in media, but I don't.
We don't do it when it's something very sensitive, i.e. you're paying respect to someone who's passed or
Greg Dorfman, Facebook. For the first time ever, Sky Sports UK didn't send their full F1 broadcast team to Melbourne with all pre- and post-race coverage and even some commentary done from a studio in London. Is the trend of rising subscription prices combined with deteriorating quality of coverage the inevitable future of sports broadcasting?
Jeff, it puts strain on the system, no question, the production, because I think one of the things sports have perhaps taken for granted is the quality of production they get from their broadcast partners, which adds significant value to their own ecosystem. And when you charge them too much for the rights, you don't leave them enough room. So the right rights deal always leaves the broadcaster enough room to cover the game in the right manner.
Yep. Mysa on Facebook, does Kane Corns go softer on Hawthorn because Sam Mitchell is a guest on Fireball? Now, this is a really good question by Mysa.
I don't think anyone can influence Kane's opinion. He's his own man.
No, I always thought that until the word genius was being used about Sam Mitchell a couple of years ago. I think Mysa, I'm going to ask Kane this myself. I'm not going to do this behind his back.
You're questioning his integrity by saying that. I don't support that at all.
No, I don't either. But he's got a weird view on Sam Mitchell. John Corbett on email. Now, this, Hutchie, relates to your carry-on segment. The thought regularly occurs to me that despite all the technology and process improvements in commercial aviation over the decades, it still takes just as long as ever to get passengers off a flight after it lands. What are the airlines doing wrong and what could be done to change it? This is my greatest bugbear, John. Well done for raising it.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily slow.
I think it's slower somehow.
Yeah, you've got to actually set the agenda on this. I think they've got to set like some sort of aspirational stopwatch. Maybe it's, you said, look, there's a $20 credit for everyone. If we can get everyone off the plane in 6 minutes, this is how it's going to go down. Bang, your time starts now. You need to do something a bit creative. One thing that worries me, John, when you do get on a plane, is when they say, ladies and gentlemen, we're really sorry, we haven't yet departed them. Checking if there's a Damien Barrett on board. Damien, if you're on board, could you please approach the... Like, how do they know whether someone had... Like, in the day of modern technology, how do they know if someone is or isn't on the plane?
You know where they're sitting, surely.
Don't you scan in to get in?
Yeah, well, that's what you're meant to believe anyway. Yeah.
That's the other thing. If I knew you were on a plane today,
yep,
right, if I knew you were flying 11 o'clock to Brisbane flying Virgin, I could go to the airport, hit Damien Barrett in the...
Should you talk about this? I think you should talk about this. You've told me you...
No, I could. I've never done it before, but I could. Like, there's no...
But that's wrong.
The layer of governance... Well,
surely it's changed now.
Well, I don't think it has.
Well, isn't that wrong?
Yep. Well, that's what I always wonder when you get on the plane, they're not sure someone's there. How could they not be sure?
So maybe when you hear that, they're thinking, Hutchie, that person has checked in under another name. Is that what you...
Maybe, yeah.
Is that what you... Okay. Alex Lee, email from London. Have either of you purchased a Startup Tassie Devils membership? And do you think there is any chance the AFL will let the stadium issue and election result impact the team given the groundswell of support?
I haven't yet, but I will. It's a cause I think is a good one to support. My question was why other clubs haven't now adopted $10 memberships and stickers.
It's a good idea, isn't it? I was going to, Alex, and I was part of the AFL coverage of the night 2 Mondays ago when they launched it officially or semi-officially. And I thought, I'll do that when I come off air, thinking that I might have been one of 8 or 10,000 to maybe do it, Hutchie. And I thought, I'll give them a little bit of a kick along. By the time I come off air, they're up to 40,000. Yep. It's now 160, I think it is. I'm not doing it. They don't need me. You can get caught up in these memberships too. I was once a member of 4 or 5 clubs when you know, they had various causes to support, and I thought it was a good idea. But they then just naturally renew you, which was annoying me, Hutchie, and I didn't like it. This is to you, Craig. Glenn March X. Did Craig run into any obstacles launching the great new SEN Sync feature? I.e., did TV broadcasters have any concerns over it? Great initiative, by the way.
It's been a 2 or 3 year build, Glenn. So it's been a lot of obstacles and IP and lawyers and other areas to get the product built. Our Project Diamond team worked collaboratively with our content team on the idea, and it's a cool product, and it promotes the television broadcast because it gives you companion audio to go alongside the great coverage on television.
Punter 257 on X. I love the Sunday Footy Show, but I now find myself watching the clips posted on Twitter to get the main parts. You sound like Hutchie, Punter. Surely this would impact on ratings, commercials, etc. So why is it a thing?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same.
That's how you consume all your media these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I consume a lot of the Sunday Footy Show on X.
Yep.
And because it's just so well distributed.
You lose the nuance though, don't you? And I actually discussed this with one of the fellow panelists the other day. You lose the nuance of a conversation if the actual edit is cut at a certain point.
It suits me as a consumer.
Yeah.
Because I love the first segment.
Yep.
I love what caught my eye. I love Mediocre. And I love, I find the quiz very watchable. I'm not a big fan, nor was I when I hosted the show, of the player interviews. I find them laborious. So for me, it allows me to hone in on the.
And you can watch something that would traditionally have taken you 2 hours in the space of about 8 minutes.
And that's no doubt where Mediocre.
That's where it's at, yeah.
Michael Virex, with winter fast approaching, how does Damo intend on maintaining his fabulous tan over the cooler months?
I'm getting accused of this a lot, Archie, and I just want to go on the record again. I've never once coloured my hair, nor my skin, and nor will I ever do that. I got a little bit of a tan up over the off-season because
you get a 22-week break. It gives you a good base, Michael, for the winter.
I've had to walk these days, Archie, which means I'm out longer because my knees are shot, and people ask that question, well, why are they shot? Because you didn't play any great sports. So that's a fair question.
154 days on a banana lounge in the summer, and it takes a long time for that
I did get to Gold Coast twice in that 10 weeks that I contractually have off. So that was the reason for the colour, but it is fading, Hutchie. You can see it's fading.
And that, by the way, has been the sounding board for DrinkWise. Question time. If you're choosing to get tanned up in the summer to last the winter, choose to DrinkWise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board Questions with Hutchie and Damo. Send us your questions via Twitter or Facebook at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.